Job chapter 2. Again it happened on the day when the sons of God came to present themselves before Yahweh, that Satan came also among them to present himself before Yahweh. Well, the sons of God don't have to refer to angels. John says, now are we the sons of God. So the believers were coming together. It says they came before Yahweh. Well, when, for example, an Israelite came before the priest, who represented God, we're told that they came before Yahweh. That doesn't mean they were up in heaven. They were in front of God's representative. So I think this is like a feast or some point where the believers come together. And it says that Satan came also among them to present himself before Yahweh. So then the Satan, this word just means an adversary, and I think the idea is that this was perhaps another believer who also presented himself before Yahweh. Now, it's not true that the Satan refers to a sinful angel or a fallen angel. Angels don't sin, and God in heaven itself does not have any sin there at all. God is all-powerful, and he's of purer eyes than to behold evil. So I think this is talking about a situation here on the earth where the believers come together, but there is a Satan, an adversary, among them. Yahweh said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan replied, from going back and forth in the land and walking up and down in it. Yahweh said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the land, a blameless and an upright man, one who fears God and turns away from evil. He still maintains his integrity, although you incited me against him to ruin him without cause. Well, that's a pretty high estimation from God of Job. God thinks that Job is really a blameless and an upright man. And he says that the Satan is trying to get him to ruin Job for no reason. So whatever sufferings we're going to now read come upon Job, they're not punishments from God. It's not true that if you sin, you get punishment from God, and if you're good, you get immediate blessing. This is the lesson of the book of Job, that that's not the case. Job was an upright man, and yet he was given all these trials that we're going to read about. Satan answered Yahweh and said, skin for skin, yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. But put forth now your hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will renounce you to your face. Yahweh said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, only spare his life. So then God gave the power for these things to happen. It's not as if God was saying, oh no, don't touch Job, and the Satan was saying, yeah, go on, do this, that, and the other to him. God is not in any conflict in that sense, because God is all-powerful. And Job himself says, the hand of God has touched me. All the way through, we're told that the evil that came upon him was from the Lord. And so, the Satan actually disappears from the book of Job after this chapter. And it is God who brings the afflictions. And likewise, in our lives, the bad stuff, as well as the good stuff, comes from God. God is not some kind old uncle who gives you all the good things, and there's some Satan that comes and tries to give you all the bad things. Not at all. God is completely in control in your life. So Satan went forth from the presence of Yahweh and struck Job with painful sores from the sole of his foot to his head. He took for himself a piece of pottery to scrape himself with, and he sat among the ashes. Then his wife said to him, do you still maintain your integrity? Renounce God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women would speak. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, Job didn't sin with his lips. So again, Job recognizes that we receive evil from the hand of God. Isaiah 45 is a good passage about that, that God makes the light and the darkness. He makes peace, and he brings evil in the sense of disaster. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that had come on him, and we've just read the evil came from the hand of God, they each came from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. And they made an appointment together to come to sympathize with him and to comfort him. When they lifted up their eyes from a distance and didn't recognize him, they raised their voices and wept. And they each tore his robe and sprinkled dust on their heads toward the sky. So they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and none spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Well, now we're going to read many chapters which describe all the conversations between Job and the friends when these 7 days' silence are finished. And I think one of the simple conclusions you come to is that all their argument about why suffering comes is simply nonsense, that they were far wiser while they sat with him and did not speak a word. And finally, they all fall silent, and we are sort of rather relieved. And that is, of course, how I think we're supposed to understand it. And on a practical point, there are times when the way to help your friend is to simply be with them and not try to say anything.